Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another C3 Church Global devotional podcast. I'm always so thrilled to be sharing the Word of God and all that it's got for us. Today, I want to jump into Psalm 8. This will probably be in two or three sessions, but it begins with, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. This psalm is written to the chief musician to put it together and to arrange it. And he's told to do it on an instrument of Gath. It's a psalm from David. He's written it. And occasionally he will employ the instruments of the Philistines to play the Lord's song. This is fascinating because I can remember when we first started our church, we were using instruments sometimes that some people thought shouldn't be used in church, like electric guitars, like synthesizers. I mean, that's just not too long ago. Today they're accepted. More holy items were considered organs or violins, things like that. But anything that was used in the pop industry or the entertainment industry was held as suspect. And then, worse than that, we used musicians who were playing in pubs and playing in bars. They were playing there on Friday night, and then on Sunday, they'd be playing in church. And people had, there were some people who had a problem with that. I didn't personally. I thought these people have got employment because of their music skills. So bringing that into the church improved the skills. And we found that our worship and our praise was not hurt at all by that. These people were wanting to follow Jesus and use their gifts in the church, but the church had refused them. But now they were able to worship and praise God using their guitars, and many of them became full-time on staff with us as musicians and songwriters and music directors. But we must understand that God can take what is in the enemy territory and use it. He can sanctify it. David certainly did. He took Goliath's sword and chopped the giant's head off with it. Jesus took death itself and was killed on that cross. But through death, he conquered the devil. And he conquered sin, sickness, oppression, and depression. He conquered it all by taking what the enemy had brought into the world. Samson took the Philistine foxes, tied their tails together, put flaming torches in there with their tails, and burned up all their cornfields. It's amazing how God will turn things around if we will let him. David understood this about God. That is why in Psalm 8 he says, I want this played on an instrument of Gath. Gath was one of those five Philistine cities. Gath was where Goliath himself came from. And he starts out by saying, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. I mean, we look at the heavens and we are breathtaking, right? It's awe-inspiring, especially if you get out into a desert area where there's no light pollution around you. The stars become so clear, and there are so many, just millions and millions. And to stop and to consider that this goes on forever and ever. These stars, this universe has never has any ending. It is truly, truly breathtaking. I'm speechless when I look at the heavens. But here the psalmist says, you think that's glorious? You think that's amazing? God's glory is above the heavens. It's more magnificent. It's more incredible. it is more awe-inspiring. So he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. His name excels all others. There is no one else like him. He has no equal, not even close." In verse 2, the psalmist says, "Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." Jesus quotes this psalm in Matthew 21:16, and he says, "Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise?" So he is translating ordained strength as perfected praise. How fascinating is that? He's saying even children, even babes and nursing infants have power in praise. They have ordained strength in their mouth when they praise God. Why has God put praise in our lives? Because of your enemies. That's what he says here. "I have put praise in your mouth because of your enemies." It's a weapon. Praise can never be underestimated. We cannot afford to dismiss it or disuse it or ignore it. It is a powerful, powerful weapon that God has put in us to be in our mouth, not just in earpods in our ear, listening to some other's music, not just on a speaker in a car where we're listening to somebody else praise the Lord, but it's in your mouth when you are able to praise God. And that's one of the reasons why I so strongly believe in the gathered church. When we have half a chance to gather, we should, to sing praises to God together. One of the things that has been recently so powerful is the Zoom services that we've had through COVID times and through lockdowns, and that's been extremely helpful. However, the one thing that you can't do on Zoom is all worship together in the same room, and neither can you have altar calls. And so these things that are unique to the gathered church are so powerful in terms of defeating our enemies. Because when praise is in our mouth, that's like kryptonite to the devil. And he has given us this praise. It says, "Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." How incredible is that? Because all of us have voices in our mind, in our thoughts, in our hearts, that try to condemn us, voices that discourage us, voices that put doubt in our mind, voices that arouse anxiety, voices that trigger in us anger and outrage or fear and terror. All these voices that are in our head are there as a battle for our soul. The battle for our soul is waged in our minds. And the devil, like he spoke to Eve, that was his first tactic, to put a voice in her head. Has God said? It was a doubtful voice. It was a voice of doubt. It was a voice bringing doubt, asking the question, implying that God was mean, implying that God was unjust, implying that God was a spoil sport, that he was the heavenly killjoy, that he was a divine wet blanket, that he just wanted to kill all their fun. Has God said that you can't eat of every tree? It was a voice. And those voices still are around today. John says many voices have gone out into the world, especially that accuser of the brethren that keeps believers in a place of condemnation. And that guilt is extremely manipulative. Suddenly people are behaving in ways that is not their true self, not their best self. Motivated by guilt and fear rather than by justified living and faith and confidence. Praise silences that voice. And look, I've been following Jesus for 50 years. Let me say this. The voice, those inclinations, those thoughts, those doubts, they don't go away. The devil is relentless, continually trying to bring us down. It says in the book of Revelation that he accuses the saints day and night, all the time. And if he can't tempt them with a tempting voice into seducing them to do something that they should not, he will condemn them on another point. It's just never ending. The weapon that we have, the wall of defense that we have, is worship and praise in our mouths. So he says, with praise in your mouth, you will silence the enemy. You'll turn down his volume and turn up the volume of God so that he becomes more audible to our spirit. We tune the radio, as it were. We shift the satellite dish so that we get the right signal coming to us. And that will bring faith and hope on the inside of us as we hear the voice of God and cease from listening to the voices of the enemy. Verse 3, the psalmist says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? We're always in need of humility. And one of the things that will humble us is to look at the size of the universe, to understand how small the earth is in the scheme of things, and then how small we are in the scheme of earth and in the history of man. Not to belittle ourselves or to sell ourselves short, simply to wonder with David the psalmist at what are we that you would be mindful of us. Dear God, we are so undeserving of your attention. We haven't done anything remarkable in terms of a universe that would demand that you take notice of us. But it's because of his love for us that he has sent Jesus, that he has sent the Holy Spirit, that he has given us the Word of God and the church, so that we might enjoy salvation and a life of discipleship following him. So David said it's a good practice to stop in the night and look up and see the stars. The Lord's done this many times with his servants throughout Scripture, with Abraham. He visited Abraham in his tent and he said, come outside, come out of your tent. Then he said, look up. He said, so shall your children be, like the multitudes of stars above. But Abraham needed to get out of his tent before he looked up. If he'd looked up in the tent, he wouldn't have seen much at all. But when he came out into God's world, into God's universe, and he saw what God could do, faith came into his heart that this would be a promise that would be fulfilled by the power of a God who can do that with the universe. And so it was fulfilled. Abraham miraculously, with Sarah, had Isaac. And out of them ultimately came the Savior, and out through whom you and I today have been born again. And he was told that he'd have descendants more numerable than could be numbered. So what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited him? The greatest chapter in the entire human history is when God visited us as Jesus. Jesus was God on earth. Some people have tried to deny that, but patronize him by saying, Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't God. Honestly, friends, if Jesus was just a man, he was not a good one. We would deem anybody who calls on his followers to lay down their lives for them, to die for them, we would say that person is evil. And millions have laid down their lives for Jesus, walked into the Roman Colosseum with their families to be torn to shreds by the lions and the animals. If he was just a man, then he would be evil. So he's not a good man. That is simply patronizing nonsense. No, he was God. And so he can ask us to follow him at the cost of our own life even. And we do. We submit and surrender our entire lives to him because he is God. And he has visited us. God has been on our planet. The atomic particles of his blood still cry out from the hill in Jerusalem, crying out mercy on all of mankind. God has been amongst us. He was born of a virgin, not born through normal means. He needed to be born of a virgin simply so pure blood would be spilt, not the impure blood that had come from Adam, but this one single human being who had blood like no other, died as a sacrifice, spilling that precious blood to wash us all clean of our sins. What is man that you are mindful of him, that you come and visit him? In John 11, there's the story of Lazarus who dies, and he's sick before he dies, obviously, and the sisters of Lazarus come to Jesus and they say to him, Lord, he whom you love is sick. Would you please come and heal him? The interesting thing here is that they didn't say, Lord, he who loves you is sick. Will you come and heal him? They asked, he whom you love is sick. We can bank on God's love for us to come visit us. Whatever your situation is, whatever your problem is, our merits earn us nothing with God, only our faith in his love for us. And so when we reach out and we say, Dear God, I know that you love me. And even though I'm not always that lovable, even though I've got very little to bring to you, nothing that I can say. I deserve your favor. I know that your love for me can be counted on. And so today, in the name of Jesus, I pray for you that his power would rest in your life because of his love for you. God bless you. I look forward to being with you again soon. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.